Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another session recorded live in the Chattanooga Public Library. This evening, our guest is a trio who have yet to settle on a name. This is Libby, playing banjo and singing, along with Joseph, playing guitar and singing, and Omari, singing and playing percussion.
So this first song is called Four Chambered, and so a lot of the music I write is really inspired by Greek mythology or just mythological folk texts in general. I think there's a reason these stories have lasted so long, and part of that is just because they really get to the core of the human condition, and it's really interesting to me that ancient texts can still be so vibrant today. And so this one is about Artemis and kind of how different people like to define the goddess Artemis as all these different things, but she really cannot be defined by anyone else's, I guess, perception of her. So there's that. All right, guys, ready?
Call me what you want. You say that you would call me, but you don't. Lost in my feelings, now I'm lost in this song. Losing my mind, please leave me alone.
My name is Libby. That's L EEBEE. I am a jazz singer by trade and picked up the banjo a couple years ago because I wanted something rhythmic to scat to, and now have sort of crafted a jazzy folk kind of sentiment to my music. And so you can find me on any streaming platform, and then I'll have the rest of my guys introduce themselves.
My name is Amari X. I've been writing music, I'd say 5 years now. Originally, I wanted to be a ghostwriter, but that image is changing. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook as well at M-A-R-I-X.
My name is Joseph Conrad. I'll be playing guitar in this session. I've known Aaliyah for a while. Good friends with my sister. Here to back her up today. The mix of what we'll be playing will be a mix of all of our songs, some originals written by all three of us, so we'll let you know, as the songs come up, who originally started it, and that way you can kind of get a feel for the styles and kind of see how it all blends together. But yeah, we're excited to be here. Thanks again, guys, in the studio, and hope you enjoy.
All right.
So this next one, this is a song called Spirit. It's all about kind of coming together, enjoying life. I'm really glad to have these two fellow humans on the song with me. They've kind of vamped it up, and I can no longer hear this song myself without hearing all their other parts in it when I play it alone. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoy.
So this next song, it's called With You. I wrote this song, I can say honestly, a year ago. I feel like it's one of the best songs I have. So, on y'all cue.
It's an amazing song.
One.
Some time, baby, you've been on your grind lately, and you've been on my mind, so call me when you find the time, baby. Just let me know, I need your love when my heart beats low. You the tide to my ocean flow, so it's only right that I let you know. When I'm with you, you make me feel like me. I miss your smile, baby. You're my Chucky doll, baby. You stab me with your love. Now I can never get enough. Ooh. I know you miss me. I know well you wanna kiss me. But I miss you too. And I miss how you break the rules. Cause when I'm with you, you make me feel like me. I said when I'm with you, when I'm with you, ooh, ooh, ooh. I said when I'm with you, you make me feel like me. When I'm with you, you make me feel complete. When I'm with you, I found my missing piece. When I'm with you, I never.
Previous album, Herbal Dissonance, did have some Greek themes, and I sort of decided to lean in a little bit further with that. So this next one was the third single off my upcoming album. And this one is inspired by a really good friend of mine who is currently in a classics PhD program. And I asked her what her favorite, verse in Greek was, and she pointed me to the Homeric hymn 7 to Dionysus, which if you've read Homeric hymn 7 to Dionysus is basically about Dionysus getting kidnapped by pirates, throwing a fit, turning people into dolphins, turning into a bear. It's very complicated. It's very hard to write a song about. So this was my attempt at doing that, and I really like how it turned out. I'm using alternative clawhammer rhythms on it, and really excited to have Joe and Amari with me to play it. So this is Fieling.
So sweet.
So you guys just met, well, at least as players.
Yeah,
we met musically, yeah.
Met musically, that's a, yeah, we've all known each other for several years as friends. So, met musically, mm-hmm. I guess, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Well, I think...
Chance or Fate? Or...
Yeah, Destiny. One of our songs is called Destiny. No, I mean, we all had been talking about... I think we'd all individually been just kind of, as a relaxation technique, jamming with each other as individuals, and had all at different times at different dinner parties been like, oh, we should get together and do it. And we just never really did it. And then, you know, this came up and the opportunity to sort of share came up. And so we were like, you know, maybe this is finally the time that we all three get together and try something. So we all have very different, we come from very different styles of music too. So it ended up being a really interesting couple of days.
It is interesting. Yes.
I was listening to you playing, and it seemed like the more you played, the more it started to sound like the kind of stuff that comes out of North Africa, where they kind of set a groove, and it's intuitive. It's felt as much as it is thought. Is that how you tend to play together? That you just kind of... You know, it's not, you're not really thinking about what you're doing. You're just following a feel.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like we do things based off feelings and, you know, meanings behind things. And that's what this project been about.
Agreed. I mean, the notes, you know, kind of come during the writing process. But then when it comes to getting in and actually playing and going through a song, you're just filling it out and then it take up the space. And just being there with it, you know, like your body already knows how to play all the music, so you don't have to think about what you're trying to play or, and really just let it kind of vibrate in the studio, yeah.
And you can definitely feel the difference too. I know when we were practicing, there'd be moments when we were all playing, and then we would practice it again, and then all of us were like, that's it. Like, it would be the same song.
Yep.
We did it twice, right? It would be every, and then all of us just simultaneously kind of felt, it was almost like, I don't know if we did anything different with the music or actually with the singing, but it just all of a sudden we felt like that, oh, we got it connected. We did it. Mm-hmm. I'll start laughing.
Where do you start? What is it that you bring into the room? Introduce your friends, would you?
Yes. Okay. Yes, of course. So my name is Levy, and it's such a pleasure to talk with you again, Richard. It's always so much fun. This is Amari X, a really, really talented, I mean, one of the most talented songwriters I know. I don't know anyone who can create a melody just out of thin air and have it stick in your head for weeks like Amari's music. It's just, and just the speed in which he's able to write really prolific lyrics is just absolutely incredible. It was a really big honor to work with Amari. So this is Amari, and then... To his right is Joseph Conrad, and of course I'll let them sort of introduce themselves too, but he's also just, gosh, it's like this earth is very lucky to have both of them, and Joseph's music is constantly traveling. But yeah, Amari, do you want to say anything about?
Yeah, my name is Amari Johnson. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. I moved here 5 years ago. I met Aaliyah in the first two of those years that I've been here. And we've been talking about collabing with music for a long time. But when it finally happened, it was everything that I expected.
The way Libby describes you, Amari, that's a gift, right?
Yes, sir.
That ear for melody and to hear melodies.
Yes, sir.
What's your first instrument?
The first instrument that I ever played was a clarinet.
What do you play now?
Right now, I'm playing my voice until I find an instrument for me.
We're going to get him on some drums here soon.
That's what I thought. Aren't you the percussionist, Amari?
Yeah, that could be the case right now.
On the next session, yeah.
But if you start out playing an instrument that you blow, that's not a whole lot different than your voice, right?
No, sir. It's,
you're approximating your voice with that instrument.
Yes, sir.
So at this point, you're thinking, I don't really need the instrument. I got the voice already.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're also the percussionist. Which is a whole different way of...
Yeah.
Although, I was talking to this one drummer, and I'd never really thought about it before, but he said, you know, I'm a singer's drummer. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was reading something Ringo Starr was talking, you know, and he said, I'm a singer's drummer. And they were talking about recording Hey Jude. And McCartney had started playing the song in the studio, and Ringo was in the loo, in the toilet. He comes bopping back into the studio. And if you remember that song, the drum doesn't come in for almost a minute. And it's literally because he was there. And then at about 55 seconds, he sat down at the drums. He's listening to McCartney, and McCartney said, it was perfect. It was right on, right on time, you know? And he was saying the same thing, that this is a guy who, when he's drumming, he's always listening to the singer. So to have a drummer who's a singer, that's pretty cool, right? That's the ideal, especially for a singer like Libby.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be magnificent.
Because Libby, it seems like your whole approach to music is so intuitive.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I think it has to be. I think it was, as growing up, as I wasn't really, I guess, a shy kid, but I didn't really know. I feel like music was the only place I could be the most authentic, and I think that's not particularly profound. I think a lot of people find music as like their most true sound or their most true voice. And I think as a singer, as I started getting singing lessons and sort of matching that with some of the energy work healing practice that I was also getting trained in at the same time, it sort of seemed natural that the messages I was learning around how to be a channel, how to be like as a vocalist, like you're sort of the messenger of the group. You know, I think every instrument is so, so deeply important. I think everyone has a deeply vital role to play. And the interesting thing about the vocalists is they sort of have their instrument is their body, right? And so there's a certain level of closeness to the sound where I can make gestures with my face and you can know what emotion I'm conveying, and I can sing words, and so you can, you know, kind of hear. And so I think just being that sort of extra layer of channeling meaning makes it really hard to sort of not intuit the music you're going to do. Because if I'm feeling off, you know, I was talking to a vocalist the other day, and she's like, you know, even if the weather's just like a little off, you know, your whole body chemistry changes. And so the nature of what you're going to sing and what song you're going to choose to sing is going to be vastly different based on how you're feeling. So I never start with the lyrics first. I always start with like the music first, and then I just hear kind of feeling words and feeling syllables until I kind of make a narrative.
that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like you're as concerned with the sound as you are with the literal meaning.
Yeah, and if anything, more so than the literal meaning. I think it always kind of fascinates me because I feel like I kind of go in, and Amy Mann had a really interesting interview where she for about her one of her more recent albums, the really great song called Goose Snow Cone, and the reason it's called Goose Snow Cone is because she was just putting in the word of her cat's name Goose, and then snow sounded good with the syllable and cone. So, and I kind of feel like that. I feel like every time I challenge myself to make a song that doesn't make sense, it still ends up weirdly at the end seeming to make sense. And so there seems to be some sort of meaning that can be derived from it, even though I feel like I go into it just with a hodgepodge of different words and sounds. It ends up with feeling really resonant with actually how I'm feeling, which is really funny. It always works out that way.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? The beauty of music is that it communicates without any words.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you think about it like that, then somebody writing lyrics is sort of imposing something on a melody that's already expressing something.
Yeah, right? And I think that's one of Joseph's great strengths too, because I don't know anyone who plays like you. Like, I just feel like what you do with your guitar and how you integrate your voice into it is unlike anything I've heard. And I feel like you feel the music so deeply out of almost anyone else I've played with, and just how you craft.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, that is correct. That is,
I mean, it's correct. It's similar to what you say. I mean, when you write or hear the song, I mean, you're kind of just, at least the stuff I write, I don't have any kind of narrative, like you're saying, when I start the song out. It might be an emotion or how I'm feeling that day, and then the song just comes out, and the guitar is the medium to express, just like an artist, a painter, a writer, if it's with words, you know. So if you can really just get yourself out of the way and just let the music come out, and it's oftentimes starts with rhythms, and you can just, yeah, it likes to express itself, yeah.
Have you always been a guitar player, Joseph?
I started at 13 on my father's guitar, yeah. So it's been 15 years, yeah.
Are you from Chattanooga?
Kingsport, close by. Yeah, I moved here a couple years ago, okay. I think 2018, something like that, yeah.
What'd you grow up listening to?
Oh, contemporary Christian initially. My parents limited what I could listen to, so they would scour like song lyrics and things like that before I could buy an album. And then Ashley started, my sister started sneaking in like AC/DC and stuff like that. And then I didn't
This is going a long way from contemporary Christian.
Oh, yeah. Huh? It took a while, though. It took till we were teenagers. And then when I started playing guitar, really my guitar teacher exposed me to the world of music outside of that. And so a lot of rock, like Zeppelin, you know, a lot of classic rock.
But
initially,
you don't play like a rock player, do you?
It has its roots in some of it. Yeah, like I said, I listen to everything, folk, rap, some heavy metal. I mean, anything you could listen to, I like. I even like some country, so.
Do you have guitar players you listen to, whose work you like, you listen to a lot?
Jose Gonzalez, I and Ethan Case. He's a guy who he doesn't sing, but he plays a double neck, 12 string on top, 6 string, and he does all kinds of tapping. It's really amazing. I'd say that, honestly, those two have probably been the biggest influence. And then Tool, honestly, too. They do a really good job. I can't remember whoever you are out there playing guitar for Tool. I can't remember his name right now. But, yeah, he's a big influence, too.
That's interesting, because that wouldn't be what I'd have thought at all. You play more like a fingerstyle jazz player. Mm. With Libby, you have been anyway today. I mean, you know, what I was listening to you do today.
Yeah. A lot of it's listening to her style.
Yeah, so I figured,
and,
yeah.
You know, kind of...
It kind of calls for that, doesn't
play
it?
Play to it, you know, like how can you best support it and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, because that's the impression I was getting is that you and Amari, you're listening to Libby and you're finding a place in the flow.
Mm. Mm. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like you all brought, I don't know, it's we were on three very different paths with music, and I feel like it shouldn't make sense, but it kind of works, you know what I mean?
But
I respect them both so much as musicians, like again, in their solo work, and I deeply love the music that they create, and I was really hopeful that we'd be able to find a home, and I think my style is already sort of a strange one too. Just mixing jazz with banjo is already kind of like, I'm sort of used to kind of like genre hopping. And so I was hopeful. I think when we kind of decided that we were going to do this and each bring one of our own songs that we'd written. So no one was doing any one. We all switched off, I guess, whose songs we were, who was the songwriter. And I think that ended up being really, really cool because on my songs, we were able to kind of have more of a jazzy sentiment with Amari bringing in some really cool rap and R&B to add more rhythmic elements than my music has, and then going into Joe's, which sort of has more of that classic rock sound, you know, being able to adapt to that, and then Amari's as well having a really, really incredible chill sort of like Chicago style like R&B over here, and then being able to kind of see how I could make my banjo do that. So I don't know if that's how y'all felt, but it felt like really interesting collaboration.
Well, Libby kind of, she plays almost like a drone a lot of the time, don't she?
Yeah.
The way she plays, it's repetitious, almost like cyclical, you know?
Yeah, and so I guess it was Reach. That's one I can think of that has that kind of, it's not too notey, and I was able to explore a lot of different, I mean, I was playing from like the second fret up to like the 13th fret on that song.
Yeah,
like,
that was...
It gave me a lot of room to express notes and just fill in some space.
Yeah.
So what was your feeling as a songwriter when you started working with Libby? Did it feel like a natural fit?
Yeah, honestly, I mean,
you too, Amari?
Yes, it's the same feeling. It's like I'm supposed to be here at these moments.
Mm-hmm. There's so much space in what Libby does that you can put what you want to put there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually really fun too, figuring out how to extend songs that we had all written to make space for each other. Like that was definitely a collaborative effort. That was really intentional, I think, on a lot of our songs. But I don't know, I don't know if this like resonates with y'all, but at least at growing up very much doing combo work and doing jazz work, I mean, everything they teach you is to sort of listen to your fellow musician. Like it's all about a communication process, because jazz, I mean, it's constant improvisation. You don't really know who's going to go win or what they're going to do. And so as much as, you know, there's always kind of like that bad, I guess, kind of stereotype of like, oh, the chick singer, right? She's not really part of this. She's just a singer. And I always wanted to rebel against that, because I think a vocalist is just as much part of the instrumental ensemble as everyone else. And so as part of that, I think them giving me respect to scat also meant me giving a lot of space for them to take solos as well, if that made sense. I sort of like that collaboration of like space making is really, really important. And I guess honoring the other players around you. So that's kind of how I always view it, as sort of like, showing like how grateful I am that these two are here. I want to make sure that they're showcased even within my music that I've written as much as they possibly can be, because they're just so talented. Yeah,
that makes perfect sense. Have you ever listened to Ella Fitzgerald with Duke Ellington?
Yes.
Oh, there's a show they did in the south of France where they did, the last song they did was a Domina thing, If It Ain't Got That Swing.
The best, yep.
And Ella just takes off.
Yep.
You know, and the rest of the band are just, they're basically grounding her,
yeah,
supporting her. Yeah. They're not grounding her because she's off. I mean, yeah, she's off in the stratosphere somewhere. But they're keeping the flow going so she can keep doing that above it.
Yeah. Mm.
That's how you guys sound to me.
We even, on some of the songs, originally kind of had more notes in certain places, and just in that relation to Aaliyah's gorgeous range that she has, we just made space in the song, and she even backed off the banjo a little bit just so it would just open up space for her and draw attention to the vocals, you know.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way in like working on Amari's song too was super, super, super fun for me too, just because like finding a home, like you were doing such incredible, both of you were doing such incredible rhythmic stuff. And so finding how to integrate what a banjo would sound like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How did that feel for you, Amari? Like just working with a banjo.
It was awesome. And it was different at the same time, because it's something that you would not expect. You know, and it blends in and it sounds awesome. So
it's a cool instrument, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's rhythmic and it's melodic at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, but not like the guitar. Yeah. You know, it's a different kind of, it's a different rhythm, you know. It's a rhythm all of its own, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool too, because I feel like if you and I were both doing rhythm on that song, it would have completely drowned out like Amari's vocals, right? So thinking about how to like self-balance right without Mike, so
keeping
like
that song kind of simple,
yeah,
kind of like
just let Amari
like a
shine,
straight beat, you know.
There's no question, Joseph, that as I was saying to Joseph before, you know, if you are you guys gonna play gigs, he said yeah. I said, well, you know, I really can't imagine you guys in a bar, you know.
I said we can play covers.
I'd like to
let
see
us
you,
go let
I'd
us
like
go
I'd like to see you play somewhere where people actually listen to you, you know.
To be fair, I don't think me alone belongs in a bar. I mean, I would love to be in a bar, but I feel like I'm kind of weird for the bar scene too, and I'm just like, here's my Greek retelling of this when Zeus just smited half of mankind, and here you go, bar people, like doesn't quite work.
It'd be an interesting bar, that's for sure.
So this is a song I wrote recently. It's just kind of about how you got the power to choose your life. The song's called Destiny. It's kind of about shaping your destiny, and also about the realization of your life's not just about your own desires and wishes, but also in line with like people around you, and that's also part of your destiny too, is being there for everyone else. So with further ado, thank you.
go to sleep at night, hoping I can hold you tight, wishing everything's alright. My wrongs, I plan to make them right, hoping that you understand, wishing I can take your hand. Keep going, I know this your jam, wishing that I can be your friend. Study, helping others out along the street. We could change things if we only try. That's the power of life. May it ignite. Thinking about the circumstance, pain wasn't part of the plan. When it rains, where do we stand? Hoping for a second chance. Keep fighting, you know you can't give up now. Keep smiling, cause if you don't, you'll frown. Remember what goes up, come down. Remember if you don't swim, you'll drown.
Give a quick shout out real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Rondell's birthday.
It is today. Rondell's birthday.
Happy birthday, Rondell.
Yes. There we go. Oh my gosh. Actually, it's really exciting because my whole household have birthdays this month. So Ashley's birthday was the 7th, and then Rondell's birthday is today, and my birthday is on Friday.
Happy birthday.
Yay.
Happy birthday.
A lot of Aquarian and Capricorn energy in this space, and then your birthday's right after that.
That's right. It's coming up in about
Pisces.
A month.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. This one was super fun to write. I kind of challenged myself to write sort of a more rhythmic song and really, I guess, what's the best way to put this? I think a lot of the songs I write can be really, I guess, not very commercial, as my dad likes to put it. They're very kind of like, maybe artsy, but also maybe not artsy. I'm just like singing things that come to my head. And so I really wanted to try to make a song that sounded a little bit more like with a hook you could grab onto. So this is sort of what I came up with. So this is Reach. I was really honored to be featured in the Soundcore Pitch Sifter with this song. So this was really exciting. All right.
Type of angel.
should I work it out? I feel my mind leaving my body, what is that about? I feel the more I try to help, the more she push me out. I'm just asking for forgiveness, I just need a chance. I know this ain't computer love, but can I be your man? I wanna take it all the way and be your dirty Dan. I wanna take it even further, hear your future plans. So we
hanging on the soundboard, a woman, I feel the empty space.
So thank you again so much for Amari X and Joseph Conrad, two amazing artists here with me today. Again, my name is Libby. This song is kind of a sneak peek of one that I am currently in the process of recording. So hopefully this will be out in a minute. So this is kind of going back to some of my Greek stuff. One of the stories that has really made its way into popular culture right now is the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. So if any of y'all are out there following Broadway and have been following Aeneas Mitchell's career for a while, she has kind of lifted that story back up into our consciousness through Hadestown, which is a recent best Broadway musical winner. But I think the reason that Orpheus and Eurydice is always such an incredible tale is just the amount of urgency and just longing and doubt and just ache when someone gets so close and then ultimately ends up not quite succeeding in the way that you really want our protagonist to. And particularly when it comes in relationships, I feel like that happens a lot, where like someone is trying really, really hard and sometimes it doesn't work, even though the love is there. And so this was sort of written as kind of a sassier song. I was trying to think about what Eurydice might have been thinking when all Orpheus had to do was just walk and not look behind him, and then at the very last second looks, and then she's like, well, what the heck? You kind of just had one job and you didn't do it, you know? A little frustrated, and kind of realizing too, with Hades and Persephone being one of the models of a pretty incredible relationship, if you know the sort of history of the text there around in Greek mythology, they're a pretty solid couple, and so kind of finding out that maybe Eurydice does belong in the underworld after all. So this is Orpheus.
I hear him calling me.
Yeah, so this is a song, this is a kind of a newer song. It should be on my SoundCloud soon. If you look up soundcloud.com/Joseph Conrad, spelled like the author, you can find some of my music. This one's not out there yet, but will be in the coming months. Thank you.
my weapon of sound. The sound of one hand clapping laughs out loud. With this movement I summon it now.
I have to say, I think that's one of my favourite sessions ever that we've recorded in the library, as always, on a Wednesday afternoon in the state-of-the-art recording studio on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library downtown. The recordings, as was this one, of mostly Chattanooga-based bands, produced, engineered and mixed by Sam Mansour. The executive producers for Live in the Library are me for WUTC, Sam for the library. We'll have another session live in the library next Thursday at 7. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Richard Winham.